Welcome to the Sean Chandler Podcast, a place to talk movies, TV, nerd culture, and today, video games, way too much. Joining me today as a very special guest is Cody Leach.
What's up, everybody? Glad to be here again.
So basically, the origin of this is that back a little while ago, I told him I was starting to play through the Uncharted games, and when it was done, I was hoping to do a ranking of the Uncharted games, and he told me when that happens, we've got to talk about it. So I've now completed them, so we are about ready to talk about them at the end of this broadcast. Griffin, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. You guys are lucky. You got me to shower and look all pretty for you. Come on, this doesn't happen every day. You all are witnessing a miracle. You should be thankful.
That's true. I actually bathed today as well, so I'm getting super used to not going out, no one seeing me, so being kind of like a caveman that's a little bit homeless. But as for today, I did actually bathe so that I could look nice and pretty to talk with you guys. But we've got a ton of stuff to talk about today. Yesterday was May the 4th be with you day, Star Wars Day. That means we got a bunch of Star Wars announcements. The big one being Taika Waititi is doing a Star Wars movie. We got other announcement that Nicolas Cage is going to play Joe Exotic for some sort of Tiger King TV series. Tom Cruise wants to go to space with Elon Musk to make a movie. Extraction 2's coming. Hercules live action. Bunch of people working on Mandalorian Season 2, and then Lionsgate has delayed everything that they're working on. And then one of our main subjects that led to Cody being on here, we will be talking about Uncharted, the video games at the end of it, so you can help me understand the games a little bit more now that I've completed them and have the perspective that you guys have. So people ask me all the time, hey, you should talk more about video games. Are you going to start a gaming channel?
I don't have
the time to start a gaming channel, but what I can do is I can have some conversations with you guys about the games that I am playing. And so that's what we are doing today. As always with these, or not as always, or always now, we started recording these deals live. So this is a recorded live straight to YouTube. From time to time, we'll be taking in some feedback from the comment section on this one. And if you guys send in any super chats, we'll do our best to address those when they are appropriate to do so. And with that said, let's go ahead and get started with our first subject of the day today, and that is Taika Waititi has officially been announced that he's going to direct and co-write a Star Wars movie. He's doing this with one of the writers of 1917. She was nominated for an Oscar, so the two of them will co-write it. He will direct it, and since obviously the Skywalker saga is done, it's not part of like a new saga, or it's not part of the saga as we know it, but it is a Star Wars movie. And to get my kind of quick take on this one, I just can't even get excited about it because they've spent so much time over the last 5 years announcing these big, high-profile Star Wars projects with A-list talent, Game of Thrones guys, Lord and Miller, and then how many of them actually come to be. And so it's just tough to get excited about this stuff at this point in time in light of their track record. Cody, what do you think about this announcement, your kind of feelings on it?
You pretty much took the words out of my mouth. It's hard for me to care for the exact reasons you said. Anybody that's like really excited that they've announced, they've either fallen through or it hasn't happened yet, or they got halfway, two thirds of the way through production and they went, whoa, that's the movie that you're making? Hang on.
Right.
Taika Waititi, I mean, he's interesting. He's a very zany, interesting filmmaker. Thor Ragnarok was a lot of fun. I just maybe a month or so ago caught up on Jojo Rabbit. Interesting. Not exactly my style, but definitely I can appreciate it. I don't know what a Star Wars movie from him would look like. Is it just going to be zany like right. Thor Ragnarok? I mean, that movie is kind of like a Star Wars movie with Thor in it as it is. So I don't know. And not only that, now that we're in the post Skywalker saga, I'm kind of just burnt out for a bit. You know what I mean? We've all been so excited about this sequel trilogy, and I think all three of us can agree to certain degrees that it's been a disappointment as a whole. So, right. I don't know.
And especially in a way that makes you feel like the leadership is the problem.
Exactly.
It's not just that they got some great talent and then they couldn't hold on to it, and then there wasn't really a vision. And so it's really easy. It's hard to get super excited when you're so nervous about the leadership itself. There are a couple other things in there. Taika Waititi, obviously, not entirely obviously, directed the season finale of Mandalorian Season 1, which I thought was one of the stronger episodes. And you could see a flavor of his humor in it. You could certainly tell that this was stuff that he worked on, some of these jokes of what the stormtroopers were doing and stuff like that. So he's been in the Star Wars world just a little bit. And I'll throw one more thought out there that I heard from someone, and then I'll kind of send it over to Griffin, who I think he's going to have some strong thoughts. So I was talking to a buddy of mine named Cameron Chile. I've known him a long time, big movie lover, fan too. And so he sent me a message after I kind of tweeted about this, that his take was like, man, we've already kind of seen him do a space movie. Yeah. And he's going to do another one. Do we need him doing Disney space movies? How many of these do we need? I was like, that's a really good point. As much as I really enjoyed what he did there, I think he's a great talent. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that he's doing kind of the back and forth deal. He's not just kind of doing big projects, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, I mean, I'd like to see him try some other things. Griffin, go ahead. And I know you've got some strong thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just a little tired of Disney going to like the same five directors. It's like, if it's not Taika Waititi, it's Ron Howard. If it's not Ron Howard, then it's Jon Favreau. If it's not Jon Favreau, then it's like so on and so forth. And to me, yeah, sure, Taika Waititi just won an Oscar for Best Original Screenplay Best Adapted Screenplay with Jojo Rabbit. Like, he's a world-class talent. The guy is great. Do I like him for Star Wars? No. His episode of The Mandalorian was good, but I also feel like it was good because out of all the directors that were attached to that show, he was the one that had the most experience with big blockbuster spectacle, you know, and especially action. So, like, I can get excited about maybe seeing him tackle the action, but, like, I don't want to see Thor Ragnarok in the Star Wars universe. One, I'm not the biggest fan of Thor Ragnarok for many reasons that would fill up another podcast. But like, also, that to me does not fit
how
the tone
dare
of Star
you?
Wars
how
is.
Dare
I know.
You not love I'm just, I'm, Thor I'm, Ragnarok?
I'm coming in here with all the controversial opinions. The only thing that gets me excited about this is Christy Wilson Carnes, the co-writer on 1917. She is a major talent to keep your eye on right now. She is working with she's worked with Edgar Wright on Last Night in Soho, I believe. She worked with Sam Mendes on 1917, obviously, and she's still relatively young and has already proven herself to be an incredible talent. So if she's co-writing the script with Taika Waititi, the thing that does get me really excited is the fact that she might be able to reel him in where he might go a little too crazy and extravagant. Similar to what Cody said, I'm a little burnt out from Star Wars right now. Legitimately, the only thing about Star Wars that gets me excited is Clone Wars, and Clone Wars just wrapped up. I wish that they would have gone with a more inspired directing choice. Like, look, love Taika Waititi. I just want to see him kind of stay doing original projects instead of falling into becoming another company man for Disney, which I'm afraid is what's going to happen, which a little bit off topic, but like, they're kind of doing the same thing by getting Peyton Reed to direct an episode of The Mandalorian. I'm like, I love Peyton Reed. I never in a million years would have picked him to direct an episode of The Mandalorian. It just feels weird. So it's like Disney is recycling the same directors, and I wish they would just branch out, you know?
It's kind of like what I talk about whenever it comes to who should they cast for this? Who should be the next James Bond? People in general tend to think about the same 10, 15 people. And do you think Chris Evans would be a good, and then they list off another comic book character? It's like, yeah. This guy's already played a bunch of comic book characters, and that's what Disney is doing with picking directors for their, like, let's have the biggest properties and look at the same set of talent for all of it. And there's times where I see the obvious overlap. I've been saying all along, Jon Favreau would make sense to do Star Wars. And I think that's gone really well with The Mandalorian. But then like when you see like Taika Waititi, has a really distinct sense of humor, whether he's talking about Nazis or whether he's talking about the Norse gods. Yeah. And even when he does a scene about two stormtroopers, it is distinctly him. And going full in for a movie of Star Wars like that, I don't know if it's the best fit. What I do appreciate about Taika is that if you look at what he's doing, I mean, he went Thor, Jojo Rabbit, and then he's got a sports movie coming out that's another small budget little film, and then he's doing Thor again, and he's doing Star Wars. So he's still kind of doing that back and forth between the passion project, the small stuff, and the big stuff. He's not just, you know, like Joss Whedon, like, disappeared for the last decade on comic book movie blockbuster team-up movies. And like, Joss Whedon is a talent that did so many different things for 20 years and then is only done team-up movies and, I guess, his little small Much Ado About Nothing. But even that was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And, like, looks like Taika, he went, all right, big success, boom, Jojo Rabbit. And he leveraged it for a passion project a little bit more. And so I appreciate that about him, that he's doing that. I think he's thinking about his career wisely, and he's thinking about his own creativity in a way that I think will work really, really nicely for him. All right, moving on to our next subject on here. Nicolas Cage yesterday was announced to play Joe Exotic, the Tiger King. And this wouldn't be for like a movie. It's actually for like an 8-part TV miniseries for, I guess, CBS. And kind of reading the actual article, you know, most people just see the headline and they're like, oh, he's playing him in a movie. Like, no, this is actually goes way back, that apparently CBS TV Studios optioned the rights to an article about Joe Exotic in June of 2019. So they had started working on this a while ago. Obviously, Tiger King has become one of the big hits of quarantine. And as part of that, they're looking like, how do we like capitalize on this? And you try to think through like with the weird place that Nicolas Cage is in his career. It almost seems like kind of a perfect moment for this actor known for just going for it, over the top, insane performances. How do you like line that up? Joe Exotic, this insane person. It just seems like such a nice partnership. And if you think all these people did kind of like fan casts, who would you cast for? Like, I think even Griffin, I think you even did some of that.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw his name popping up. And then now that you see it, you go, wow, that seems very interesting. So Griffin, you already went into this one. What's your take on Nicolas Cage jumping into this game?
I mean, I think it's hilarious because the perfect answer was right in front of us this whole time and no one thought of it. Everyone was always like thinking it's weird because
everyone was always
thinking like, yeah, looks or like, you know, in Adam McKay kind of biopic where it's like, who can be like a chameleon and turn into this kind of guy. And so like you got a lot of Michael Keaton, some David Spades in there. And so on and so forth. I mean, someone even threw in like Dax Shepard, which is just wild. But like no one thought of Nicolas Cage. And weirdly enough, it's like the guy's entire career has been leading up to this casting. It's like everything he's done like makes him the perfect candidate to completely nail Joe Exotic because he's going to make the character his own, but he's also going to give us like the elements of Joe Exotic that we know and love. And Cage, people don't give him enough credit, but he is always committed in the roles that he excels in. And he's always a chameleon. It's honestly impressive how like underappreciated the guy really is when it comes to acting. Cause we always just like kind of meme him and spoof him for like his crazy antics and whatnot on screen. But the guy is a phenomenal actor. And I think this could be the role that really just like propels him to the next level, even though he's already on another level. Like this could be an awards worthy performance when it's all said and done.
Cody, how about you?
Leave it to Hollywood to find the one actor in the business that's going to have to tone it down to play Joe Exotic.
Yeah,
I read it and I was like, oh my God. It was hilarious for me because my fiance is a fanatic of this Tiger King little craze that's going on. She spits off little one-liners and blames Carol Baskin for everything that goes wrong in the house. But Nicolas Cage is the actor that she hates most in life. So as soon as I saw that announcement, I was like, oh my God, I'm sharing this to her and she's going to love it and hate it at the same time. It's going to be interesting. I don't know about if it's going to be on CBS. Is it going to be the CBS? I believe does the all access where it's going to be, is it going to be R-rated? Is it going to be toned down for television? I have a hard time believing you could tell his story and be that character PG-13. That's my only concern.
That's a tough one to dial him back for. All if you want to get the right hate for Carol Baskin, you got to go for it.
Well, here's the other thing is like, so they're, I don't know what they're, who's making it. I guess you said it was CBS. Could it be an instance that this is for CBS All Access? Because if that's the case, if it's for CBS All Access, then it can be that R rated, like kind of edgy series, you know?
Their Star Trek stuff has had language, sex scenes, and kloobs, Klingon boobs, which.
Oh, beautiful.
I don't know that anyone that was asking for, but someone on the writing team wrote that and they gave it to us. So if they go CBS All Access, we could get the full crazy Nicolas Cage, all the language and all. I guess one other one to send in or to mention on this one is that Nicolas Cage, like what an Oscar. Like it's what we forget about him is that this guy is the real deal. He can act when he commits, like not just the overact, not over the top stuff. He has that size that can be prestige acting. That's people, not just general public entertained, but Academy voters gone for it. And that's what I'm hoping we can get all of it, that you can get him being like, this is a part of my comeback. People are going to watch this and you get full crazy and full Oscar all at once in this one. And that would be a lot of fun to get that version of Nicolas Cage for this particular project. All right, moving on to our next one, talking about actors in their 50s that are crazy. Tom Cruise is working with NASA and Elon Musk to shoot a movie in space. It won't be a Mission Impossible movie. He doesn't have a studio yet, but he is actively trying to go all the way up past the atmosphere for the purpose of entertaining us. Cody, what do you think about Tom Cruise going all the way to space just to make us happy?
If anybody was going to do it, it's him. I mean, let's be honest. It's an interesting idea to actually go to space to film something. I don't know if it's going to be in a space station, if they're going to film something on the surface of Mars, who knows, but Tom Cruise will make it happen. Need to hear a story, I guess. And the studio as well. Like, we're going to spend 3/4 of our budget launching you into orbit. So what's your idea here? Interesting. I mean, the guy keeps finding ways to top himself, right?
Keeps going higher and higher up these jets. Griffin, how about you? What do you think about
that? Well, I mean, it's obvious what it's going to be, right? Like, it's going to be the biopic of the guy who did who literally did that jump. Like, what was his name? Like, Felix something? I don't know if you guys remember when that jump like actually happened. I feel like, they might do like a biopic on that, which would be interesting to see Cruise in a biopic again, because he hasn't done like a prestige picture in like years. And it's like he's another one of those actors where it's like we forget like he's been in awards caliber films. Right. He should have won the Oscar for Magnolia.
I mean that's what his career was basically. I know. until Mission Impossible. Like, he was born on the 4th of July and all this stuff. There was like serious stuff, and he did like blockbuster Top Gun, but like all right along with that was doing like serious stuff, thrillers. And he was like 40 years old, or like in his mid 30s when he became action guy.
Yeah, it's so weird. But I mean, listen, no, I don't think anyone's really surprised. Like, people were, even if they were joking about it, there was like a hint of truth to that joke that, oh, he's going to jump from space. The fact that he's doing it with Elon Musk doesn't surprise me, because he's the only idiot out there that would pay for this, you know? So like no studio is going to front the money to do this on their own. So of course he has to partner with someone else to do it. So it's just wacky, and I can't wait to see it happen. Hopefully nothing bad happens to him in the process.
I had someone message me asking, like, since they're going into space on this one, I mean, he's going all out. Do you think it has the possibility of being the number one movie of all time because of that? And I was like, well, I mean, I mean, there's always the possibility that movie be the number one movie of all time, but not because of that. Like, you have to have it's the story that matters. And that's a little bit the alarming part about this, is that the gimmick is the head of the story. Yeah, you're like, they're going to space. Tom Cruise, Elon Musk, one gigantic high five in space. Sound awesome, right? Like, well, I mean, that's a gimmick. That's pure gimmick, especially in a year or at a point in time. We have so much CGI and all the stuff that we can do now. Just shooting a movie in space is a gimmick. And so that almost has me nervous, because it wasn't, hey, we're doing the new Mission Impossible movie, and hey, what else can we do? We are actually going to go to space. But it starts with, hey, all this other stuff. Whereas here it starts with, we're going to space. All right, but what are you going to do in space? What story are you going to tell? And they're not pitching it that way. And that's what makes me nervous about that one.
Here's the question though. Who's going to get to space first, Tom Cruise or the Fast and Furious franchise?
That's true. That is true. If they were working for similar studios, you could potentially see that as the team up that was coming, but they seem to be lined up differently.
Tom Cruise space movie.
Yeah.
That'd be
weird.
Amazing. Wild. Amazing. Amazing. Okay. We got another big, gigantic story that came last week. Something we've all been waiting for, something that many of us have been anticipating for a very long time. Sony finally gave us the name of their Sony Marvel Universe. After much speculation of nice names like Spider-Verse, Sony Marvel Universe, they gave it to us, and it's even better than we could have ever possibly imagined. The Sony Pictures Universe of Marvel Characters, or Spunk. I had to read that because I forgot it, because it's kind of long. Cody, what do you think about them announcing this very helpful name that everyone is going to use?
It's stupid. I mean, it's like assigning a name to something that didn't really need a name, to be honest. I mean, even the DCEU, they keep saying that's not the name. It's like, oh, it's the name. We've been calling it DCEU for like 10 years. But no, you get to this. It, like you said, Spider-Verse could have been very easy. If it's going to be centered around Spider-Man, that's like a no-brainer. That's kind of word vomit to me. Nobody's going to remember that. Nobody's going to call it that. I don't imagine they're going to have like a Marvel Cinematic Universe style intro logo that's going to show that giant name at the beginning of all their movies. Exactly. No, thanks. That's about how much Griffin, I can sum it up. No, thanks.
Griffin, do you love this name?
I like that everyone's going to basically resort to calling it Spunk, because no one's going to call it Spunk. It's just really stupid and unintuitive and doesn't roll off the tongue easily and sounds like it was made, like concocted in some sort of corporate boardroom lab. Like, it's just trash. No one's going to call it that. Just call it Spider-Verse. Or, you know what? Just don't even call it anything. Sony, it doesn't need a name. You can just make movies with Marvel characters. We don't need, not everything needs to have like a universe. But of course, this is Sony we're talking about here, so I'm not really surprised that they're doing this. But only Sony could come up with the stupidest name ever for their cinematic universe. They literally just named Venom 2 Let There Be Carnage. Let There Be Carnage. Not just like Venom Carnage, Venom Maximum Carnage, Venom 2. No, Venom Let There Be Carnage. Why? It's nice. So wordy. It's anyways.
Rant levels.
It's like a new segment on the show. Griffin rants about a Sony title for something. Man, I think that's the thing about it, is that no one was asking for this. No one was looking for this. It wasn't something that we needed. And then they announce it and it only makes them look stupid, and no one is going to use it. No one is going to call it that because no one can remember it. It's one of those names where you go, right? Like, I had to write it down. I had to read it out loud because it doesn't flow. It's not natural. It's not organic. And so it feels like one of those things where, like, you know, like the DCEU doesn't really, like, they keep saying it, that's not the name of it. because they haven't really given us some sort of meaningful name that's stuck or anything like that, because you don't need to. And then Sony's like, well, we're going to give it a name. But you like who? That's what I'm trying to understand. Who came up with this?
I'll tell you who it was. It was Avi Arad. Avi Arad is the only person who could fucking come up with this thing. Like he is cancer on the film industry. Why does he have his hands in Spider-Man? It's so frustrating.
But yeah, like you look at it, and you go, okay, no one's going to use that. So he comes up, we'll say Avi came up with it. How did it get approved? How did it go beyond the him, though? How did no one go like, dude, no one will use this. Here, let me just spitball 10 ideas right now that are better than this. Sony Marvel Universe, Sony Cinematic Universe, like Spider-Man's, like we can do all these ones that are better. No, man. Sony Pictures Universe of Marvel characters. And like, so how many extra words are in it, too? Like, how many words, like, Sony Pictures? Why do you have to add pictures in there? Like,
they could have repurposed the title from the classic cartoon show Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, and that would have been a better universe title than this.
Yes, it would have been fun, too.
That would have been fun.
And instead, you get this one that, yeah, feels like, okay, well, here's three words that have to be in it, so work around that. What? I don't... Why are we doing this? Why are all these words in it? I don't know. So
it's like an intern threw it out as like a joke. And then they took it and like pushed it up to the higher ups before you could tell everybody he was just screwing around.
So very, very strange. So moving to our next announcement that kind of came out yesterday. There was a lot of things that came out yesterday. I had like several notes for what we were going to talk about, but I thought, hey, it'll be like a couple news things and then we'll get into Uncharted. But no, that's not what happened. Yesterday happened and a bunch of stuff just dropped. So Extraction, the Chris Hemsworth Netflix original action movie that we've actually talked on the podcast for the last couple of weeks. Wildly successful for Netflix. The article I read said that it looks like it's their top debut that they've ever had. So that's probably the exact thing that they were hoping would happen. It did. So they're very quick to announce they're working on a sequel. And Joe Russo of the Russo brothers produced it with his brother. And then he also wrote the script for it. Here's the quote that was from the article. "The deal is closed for me to write Extraction 2, and we are in the formative stages of what the story can be. We're not committing to whether the story goes forward or backward in time. We left a big loose ending that leaves a question mark for the audience." So I don't want to go into too much about kind of how the story ends with the plot points and what threads could be out there to continue, since at least one person in here hasn't watched it yet. So we don't want to mess that up. But the other two of us, we can talk about this a little bit. I was a big fan of it. Griffin was a big fan of it.
I'm sure I will be too. I mean, I have no doubts.
It seems like something that would be right up your alley. Yeah. I'm excited for just that simple reason. I love R-rated action movies that are well choreographed and everything. And the fact that like we might get another franchise in that genre, I'm game for that. Chris Hemsworth is in his game as a guy doing this. He committed to it. The director, as a stuntman, did some really awesome stuff with it. And they created a new one of these characters. Brian Mills from Taken, Jack Bauer from 24, and now Rake from Extraction as one of these guys that you want to see him go on all these different missions. And so I think it's in that way we're set up really nicely to have more stories to tell that are episodic. It doesn't need to be this big mythology. So I think this just felt like a no-brainer to me that they would do this. Griffin, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, after seeing it, I thought they were for sure going to take it into a franchise direction. Look, I immediately after I watched my screener for this, I was like, oh, this is going to be a massive hit. Like this is like Netflix is going to, they're going to, you know, turn on the sequel switch and everything with this thing, because it's incredible in terms of like Netflix original movies and just in terms of action movies as well.
And I think we've talked about that. I'm sorry to cut you off. We've talked about it a number of different times, how there's been an interesting mixed reaction to it, Yeah. Where a lot of people on Twitter and YouTubers are kind of crapping on it for the story being very simple. And then, so you know, Cody, you are aware of me getting into a fight with someone on Facebook. I won't mention it in the context
Facebook.
Yeah. Facebook. I'm old. And that turned pretty nasty. And over this person just trashing the movie and calling it just another Michael Bay like action movie, which I thought was a very bizarre comparison.
That's so just inaccurate.
But what I think that what we're seeing with these numbers here is that the target actual demographic for it, guys my age, people that are 50 years old, they don't necessarily go out to the theaters as much, but they still love action movies. And they say, oh, look, Chris Hemsworth, he's in a movie with some action in it. And they don't have to pay money. They don't have to leave their house, and they can't leave their house. I think that trailer immediately goes, oh, yeah, it's kind of like Taken, except with, Chris Hemsworth. And then they start watching it. The action is way better than the action in Taken. A bunch of things about it, they're much better than Taken. And I think its target audience is just eating it up. It's easy to get people to click on it and put a big grin on a bunch of grown men's faces. I think that's exactly what it did.
Yeah, and like not even men. I know plenty of people, like parents and all sorts of like just people who just sat down and watched it and had a great time with it. I will say, I think There are two directions that I'd like them to take a sequel. And this is, I won't get into spoilers here, but like given the way the film ends, I interpreted it one way. And I think going forward for a sequel, I would like it. I could see it, something really cool happening. I could see it being like an anthology film where it's like anthology series where like each entry follows like a new hero on like a mission like this. That could be really interesting, and it could give like other actors a chance at this. But if you wanted to keep like the Chris Hemsworth like machine going, maybe doing a prequel could be really interesting, because the guy, without giving too much away, the guy has like a deep history in spec ops in the military, and he has like so many connections all over the place. And so it could be a good opportunity to kind of explore those previous missions that led him to this film.
Right. And I think that's almost kind of the fun part about it. Yeah. I think they're even with the movie that they made and how they kind of where they took things at the end. You kind of see it and you go, this could go in so many different directions, and not because it's like this overly complicated, we're going to be debating this like Inception for years, just nice little touches. And that's was the whole movie for me. Nice little touches. Yeah. Even like I've given my reviews on it before, but like, I love the way that they treated side characters and henchmen and giving them information that we learn about them. And that's a good action movie when you do that. So yeah. Cody, I can't wait for you to actually check this one out so I get your take on it. I saw a lot of people saying like, oh, Joe Russo's returning, the script was the biggest problem with it. The script is the biggest problem for it for people that don't want this movie. Like, I think he delivered the I mean there's some improvements certainly you could do, maybe make the character moments a little bit better, so like sure, but it's not like he delivered a bad script and the director just elevated the material. He delivered what the script that you want for a movie like this. Like, it's here's the other one that people need to stop and think about. Every time you go to Redbox, every time you go get on your favorite streaming service or rental service, you'll stream down and scroll down. There's always this section where you'll find the latest direct-to-video action movies. Half of them star Bruce Willis, or at least he's on the poster and have the title like Airstrike or something like that. And, Steven Seagal's in 25% of them. And Scott Adkins is the other 25%. And then my math is going to be terrible. Then the other 50% beyond that 100% is all these other guys. And the reason they're able to keep putting those out there is because there's people that just like straight, simple action movies. This is that, except from a Russo with a great star. And like that's what people don't understand. Like, there's demand for this kind of thing, and it did it well. So anyway,
Cody. The arguments against action films nowadays frustrate the living hell out of me too. Like, I haven't seen this movie to be able to use it as an example, but there's been movies over the past 3 or 4 years where it has that very throwback kind of simple, gritty take that we knew from the late 80s, early 90s. And now all of a sudden that doesn't work. And, you know, you get a movie like this where you're saying that the script is too simple. You know, the action and everything like that takes precedence. But everybody loves John Wick. They kill his dog and he's pissed about it. That's the story.
Yeah,
it's, you know,
it's, or the raid. The raid is amazing. They go into a building, they get stuck, and they're trying to get out. And I had this argument with someone when there's like, no, man, like in the raid, they're, you know, they're forming a brotherhood as they have to fight Mad Dog. It's like, that's not different from the movie Extraction. The Extraction does the exact same kind of like simple, straightforward plot line, bonding between our, like, drive me crazy. I'm sorry, I cut you off there.
No, exactly. Like, you and I kind of align a lot on that. Like, I mean, we met each other through Bloodfather.
Yes, Bloodfather,
which is 100% throwback, gritty action thriller. Nowadays, that movie just fails immediately. It'd be a massive hit in, you know, 89, 92.
Yep. But another one also that it dropped on Netflix during quarantine, and it was in the top 10. Mm-hmm. And it was, I'm sure, is the exact same deal of people got on Netflix and they went, oh, look, a new Mel Gibson movie. And it's just, it's guys that grew up watching Lethal Weapon and they took that trailer and they went, old, angry Mel Gibson in an action thriller. Cool.
Yeah, and they made,
so absolutely worked. All right. We got a super chat come in.
We had two of them.
Uh-oh. I better find the one I missed.
The new one is right here. Sorry.
Says, imagine a Star Wars animated anthology show that shows everyone, new, old, called Skywalker Stories. Wednesday, need one episode with Anakin as a Force ghost chilling. I that's where I'm. We're in kind of that place to where there's nothing new coming out with Star Wars for a little bit. So we have a clean slate. And there's a bunch of things that they could do that could be interesting. And if a little bit, that's a what if scenario, kind of like what they're doing with Marvel, and do a little bit of a what if about Force ghosts and the, you know, the Skywalkers over the eras, that could be interesting. I know for me, what I keep wanting is to just go out and just do different stuff with different characters at different time periods. And we've seen a lot of Skywalkers. So my default would be to want to go in a different direction. Cody, how about you? What do you would you want to see kind of Skywalker stories?
I don't want to see Skywalker anything for a while. I want to see Knights of the Old Republic. I want to see new stories. I want to see the rest of this universe. I mean, that's what excited me whenever Disney took it over and they were talking about, we're going to do a Skywalker movie, then we're going to do a standalone movie. And that lasted, what, 2 years? That was my thinking was, okay, we're going to get fan service and then we're going to get exploration. I mean, the Mandalorian, it has things that tie to certain things that we know. Like, I know there's some Easter eggs to some of the shows and everything, but for the most part, that's a standalone story. Everybody that's like the most celebrated Star Wars anything since The Force Awakens. Take notes from that, do something different. So that would be my pick. I get the need for, or the want for, you know, seeing more of these characters that we've all grown up with throughout different generations, but I kind of want to galaxy far, far away. I want to check out what's far, far away.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it a little bit tricky and frustrating, is that there's a side to it that, like, you know, I love to see kind of more full power Vader in suit. There's a side to it that I kind of love to see more of that. And I'd love to see.
I felt that when I watched Rogue One and I was oh, I only got this much of it.
And there's little scenes in the video game, Jedi Fallen Order, a little bit of him at the end of Clone Wars, a little bit of him in Rebels. And so there's a side to it where you go, like, I'd love to see that. And then I'd love to see Luke as the teacher.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's a whole big gigantic universe that I want to see. And that's what makes it a little bit tricky on some of these deals. Griffin, you have any particular thoughts on where you want to see Star Wars go?
Yeah. I mean, I think Cody put it best. He was like, for a galaxy far, far away, they just continue to shrink the universe. They keep mining the same characters, the same time period. I am just kind of over it. That's been my big thing. It's like, that's why Rian Johnson's trilogy kind of excites me, because it's something new, it's something different, it's set either way in the past or way in the future, and he's given full, like, freedom to do whatever he wants and isn't, like, shackled by, you know, the history of past characters. Because for as much as I don't really like The Last Jedi, I feel like he would excel in like a trilogy where he can just do whatever he wants, right, and build new characters.
Would you feel that too, Cody, of frustrated with what he did with Last Jedi? But that's not because I don't think he could tell a good story in that universe. Would you agree with that?
Exactly. All you have to do is watch Knives Out or Brick or Looper. Yeah. When the guy can do his own thing and he's the, you know, the brainchild and this is my world, he's awesome. And I don't think even the biggest Last Jedi hater, I don't think can deny that. But it's whenever he's put into a box and you have not only studio expectations, but you have fan expectations that you have to stay within the guidelines in. And whenever he breaks that box, you see what happens to the fans. They're like, no. So, if he gets his own characters, can do his own thing, I think he'd be great.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. So that's like, that's where I want to see Star Wars go personally. I'm just kind of over them continuing to do the same thing for the sake of nostalgia.
Real quick, wanted to go back to our extraction conversation. I saw a comment that I thought was... I liked it. Super Samurai One said Sam Hargrove was, and that's the director of Extraction. The director of Extraction was Chris Evans, Captain America's stunt double. What if he brought him in for the sequel? So if you combine that with what Griffin said about anthology, of system here, and you just say that, I read that one, I went, all right, when you combine those two ideas. Yeah. That gets really interesting and a lot of fun. Really
love
fast.
To see that.
That the vibe of this movie, this kind of world of mercenaries and stuff, and this director with what he's able to do with this stuff. And you like, it's just it's like the fun, even the nature of Captain America stunt doubles directing the movie. And he brings Captain America in. That could be pretty cool. We have one more super chat come in. Thank you, Cody Leach, for bringing this one to my attention. Just Some Porg with internet access. Favorite Baby Yoda scene? I don't know. That's a tough one because there's so many it's one of those characters that just kind of clicked just right of being so cute.
Yeah.
Right out of the gate, you're like, wow. If you told me this before we saw it, if they'd announced it, we might have had a more cynical thought about it. And then you watch it and you went, that is so adorable. And they just kind of pulled it off. Yeah. And so I don't know. I mean, it may sound horrible, but that two stormtrooper scene where they're punching Baby Yoda and then he bites the finger, that's pretty amazing. But I guess that's more them than him and their abuse. Mm-hmm. Do you go with the cuteness or do you go with the kind of the magic that is the Force? And when he uses it just a little bit and they're like, what is going on here? I don't know.
I really like the shot where he's just like sipping the tea at the restaurant. Like, it's just so funny because he's like, he's got the squinty eyes. He's just like,
did they know they were making something so memeable?
I'm sure they, I don't know. You never know with these things, but I have to imagine someone in like the editing bay was like, oh, that's going to go viral.
Like, good. Any thoughts from you, Cody, on Baby Yoda?
Probably the first time he used his powers and everybody just kind of like, well, that's probably the one for me. Yeah.
Okay. One more comment and then we'll jump back into our topics. Mm-hmm. Lucas Moosegrave said, Sean, you need to be, or I read that backwards. You need to be in on 31 on 31, Sean. If you guys don't know what 31 on 31 is, it's something that Cody does on his channel where he takes 31 movies from different franchises on the 31st of October or potentially May. And ranks them. So, but a bunch of horror franchises, October 31st. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what has and hasn't been announced. Cody, if you wanted to say what is public information about this real quick.
Stay tuned.
That is all you can know about it. Let's just say I am fully aware of the plans for the current one for good reason. That is all that will be said on that matter. Next topic at hand, Hercules live action is on the way. Now, as we know, Disney has been just going bananas with these Disney live action remakes. They're just going to the Renaissance and they're just saying, which one have we not done yet? All right, that's the next one we should think about doing. And so here we are. They've kind of officially stated that, or multiple sources or news outlets announced, one of them even being Disney Insider, some friends of the channel, being one of the first to announce it, or the first to announce it, I should say that, that this is coming. And other news outlets added that David Callum, who is the screenwriter on Wonder Woman 1984, worked on the Expendables movies and a bunch of other stuff recently, is working on the script. The Russos are producing. So looks like they're getting some big names for it, which you kind of assume that that's going to happen, is that they're going to get big names for it. This movie came out when I was in high school, the original animated film. So I watched it for the first time last year or 2 years ago or something like that. I mean, very recently. Of the Renaissance was one of my least favorite. I thought it didn't quite have the magic. I mean, it's got all the things you're supposed to have for one of these movies, but it didn't quite have that spark for me. Perhaps once again, I didn't grow up with it like I did with the early Renaissance films. I'm not like super excited just in general because a little bit of that skepticism towards the Disney live action remakes. At the same time, of Disney live action and remakes, things that lend themselves well to live action, Hercules is one of them. But that leads to a different point. We got a Hercules movie from The Rock like 3 years ago or something like that. Ugh. So there's a whole bunch of different thoughts on this one. For the most part, I'm like, why are we doing this? Cody, how about you?
Yeah, the tricky thing with that one is it's a version of the story of Hercules, which we've gotten numerous times. So the fact that they're adapting it from animation really does absolutely nothing to sell it. It's like, okay, you could just say we're doing a Hercules movie and Disney's making it, and it's exactly the same news. I grew up watching it. It was never one of my favorites. I haven't watched it in years to be able to tell you what kept it from being one of my favorites. I remember James Woods as the voice of Hades. I remember Danny DeVito is the voice of the character I cannot remember, but the short one. That's about it. So I really have no expectations for it. I really enjoyed Aladdin last year. I didn't hate The Lion King like a lot of people did. So there's some Disney remakes that would probably get me excited. This probably just isn't one of them. A trailer might. The news doesn't.
Yeah. Griffin, you have loved all of the Disney live action remakes, and I think you've publicly stated that that's what you want Disney to do exclusively moving forward, especially ones like The Lion King.
Yeah.
That's all sarcasm, everybody, if you don't know. Griffin, what's your take on another one of these?
Again, similar to my take with like the Disney Plus Robin Hood movie. What made those animated adaptations stand apart from literally the millions of other adaptations of Robin Hood or Hercules is the fact that they were animated, they were stylized, they had music, and it presented the story through a new lens. When you strip it of all of that and just make another live action Hercules or another live action Robin Hood, it just becomes... it just kind of falls into the mix of everything else. Now, yes, you can incorporate the music. You can kind of stylize it in the way that they did the movie. But at the end of the day, it's still a live action version of a story that we've seen done a million times before. Hercules is also beloved by many people. It's one of the Disney Renaissance films. I'm similar to you guys. I enjoy it. I love James Woods as Hades. I mean, he is just like, I don't even want to see anyone touch that because of how... like James Woods is Hades to me, similar to Robin Williams is the genie. I get there's so many people out there who love that movie, and it's one of the bigger, more well-known ones in the Disney Renaissance. And again, if Disney's going to do a live action remake of one of their properties, do one of the properties that could actually like benefit from it. Like I say this all the time, Atlantis, Treasure Planet, and The Hunchback of Notre Dame, three movies that would kill for a live action adaptation because when they originally came out, they didn't necessarily reach the heights that they probably should have. So I'm not really excited for this. I'm kind of over these announcements, but I don't know. Maybe a trailer can change my mind like Aladdin did.
The trailer for Aladdin won you over?
Oh, sorry. Maybe a trailer can change my mind, and hopefully like something similar can happen with Aladdin. Cause I agree. I actually did enjoy that adaptation.
And Aladdin has become a mainstay of my house. Some of that's because of the age of my kids and everything. But the one that's really surprised me is my wife has really taken to it. She didn't want to watch it. She watched the trailer. It's like, oh, these Disney live action remakes, what are they doing? So when it finally came out, we watched it at home and she's like, I really dug that. And so it's on all the time as either something the kids want to watch or something that my wife wants to put on right before bed. And so sometimes they have that magic in there, but you know, I gave a positive review to The Lion King. I think I own a copy back over here. And I haven't even taken the time to rewatch it or try and get my wife to watch or anything. Cause it was like one of those ones that was a cool experience. Watched it on the IMAX actually with our buddy Tyler.
Didn't I give you the Blu-ray copy or the 4K copy they sent me of The Lion King?
That could be what happened. Yeah.
I remember they sent it to me and I was like, never asked for this.
That did happen.
Don't want it.
Same with the Charlie's Angels movies. You're like, here's The Lion King, here's Charlie's Angels, and maybe even Child's Play too. Of like, here's all these movies. Like, wow, I didn't know I was going to get all these goodies just by visiting LA.
Yeah, just weird films that got sent to me that I was just like, I don't want these. And I'm sure, Sean, with all the rankings that you do, you could benefit from having them. So
and that's so true. Like very random things. Like normally I wouldn't be like, man, Charlie's Angels movies, this is amazing. But because I was prepping the rankings to do that, turned out it was actually a pretty good deal for that. So it worked out for me in the end that you gave me all those deals. So, all right, let's see our next topic at hand on here. This will be just a quick one. We touched on this just a little bit, but yesterday, two different people for Star Wars Day let it out that they are directing episodes of The Mandalorian. One is the one you mentioned before, Peyton Reed, and he's already done two Ant-Man movies, and so it's director of the Ant-Man movies. Looks like he's going to direct some Mandalorian season two. And the other one was Robert Rodriguez, which is pretty cool for me because he's in Austin. He's huge in the city of Austin. If you've seen the Spy Kids movies, you've seen the city of Austin, like Spy Kids 3, the whole thing is downtown Austin. I know where I park when I go to the theater that's on the street where the big climactic final battle is. They're like standing on the parking lot where it's my secret place where I know where I can get free parking. And that's where the battle takes place because he's such an Austinite. And when I saw Terminator Dark Fate, just because he lives in Austin, the new Terminator was at the screening actually and interviewed him just because he lived in Austin. He's like, hey, I can do the Q&A for that. So he was just kind of there. Some of the promo pictures of the two of them together for Terminator Dark Fate, I watched them take the pictures. It was kind of those weird little moments. And so just naturally, I get pretty excited whenever, you know, because he's a local guy. But then beyond that, he did a bunch of these action movies that I loved back in the 90s, Desperado and From Dusk Till Dawn. And then even Alita last year, showing that you can do the sci-fi side of things. I really dug Alita. And so I saw this one, I got pretty excited about this one. How do you guys feel about Peyton Reed and Robert Rodriguez joining the world of Star Wars?
Peyton Reed doesn't really move the needle for me. That kind of goes to what Griffin was saying earlier about Disney's bag of tricks, kind of going to their
There's
directors.
Nothing exciting about it.
Yeah.
But he's not even that interesting.
Exactly. Robert Rodriguez is exciting. I don't know how much of that episode is going to have, you know, standouts from him, but I've always liked him as a director. He's had his hits and his misses, but he's a very genre guy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you said, the early action movies From Dusk Till Dawn, one of the most genre benders out there. You get movies like The Faculty, which I'm a huge fan of. So yeah, and Alita last year, I skipped it in theaters, had no interest for it. My buddy Brian Lomax he's like, it's one of the best. It's one of the best. It's so good. It kept making his top five of the year. I'm like, fine. And I watched it and I'm like, give us a sequel. No. he excites me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Griffin, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, Peyton, listen, and I actually really like Peyton Reed as a filmmaker, and I love the Ant-Man movies. And I think that's where he's kind of in his element, where he can do a light kind of action comedy sort of thing. That's really that's been his staple all of these years. So him doing The Mandalorian one is kind of weird, but then also just again, it's Disney just rotating through the same five filmmakers over again. Robert Rodriguez excites the hell out of me and is probably his episode probably is the one I'm looking forward to most in season two, just because like I think he could excel in that medium. He can bring some of his style to it, but it's also like a sandbox where like he's done a lot of Westerns and he's done a lot of like stuff about like outlaws and like rogue renegades and whatnot. So it's like, and I mean, like he himself is even kind of like a rogue filmmaker to an extent. That's always what he's like yeah. prided himself on.
Rebel Without a Crew is the name of his book.
Yeah, exactly. And I've always just like I've loved his approach to filmmaking, how down to earth he is, and just like how nice of a guy he is from the few like encounters that I've seen him and like the speeches he's given. So yeah, I first of all, I'm all for this. You're right. He's had his hit or misses, but I think when it comes to the larger picture, he can definitely do something like this, especially since he's not really writing the story. He's just kind of directing the episode. So this is probably the best announcement from Mandalorian that I've seen regarding Mandalorian season two, aside from like Ahsoka returning.
Yeah. So that led to a comment we just received. Someone asked like, hey, if they did a film or animated series about her, who should play her? They've already announced it. Rosario Dawson is cast to play her in season two of The Mandalorian. And to do just a little bit of the connection game of putting speculation out there. So Grindhouse, the movie that had two movies in it. One of them was Tarantino. The other one was from Robert Rodriguez. The one that's from Tarantino has Rosario Dawson in it and was parts of it was filmed and takes place in Austin and the place where they filmed part of it, where she like is on the front of a car in front of a gas station and stuff. That's a block away from the high school that I went to. But anyway, I just kind of put in little connections together. Like he directed Grindhouse, the other half of Grindhouse, and then she was in it. She's going to be in season two. Could that mean Robert Rodriguez is the one that's directing Ahsoka Tano finally live action? Some speculation, some crazy little thoughts out there that might mean nothing, but maybe they do mean something. Final little subject of our main news subjects of the day, and then we'll start talking about Uncharted video games and some stuff like that.
Yeah.
Won't go into too many specifics about this, but as every single week, more movie delays. Lionsgate basically took everything from 2020 and just went, or 2020 and just pushed everything backwards a year. Everything. So we were supposed to get a new Saw movie in like 2 weeks. Nope. 1 year from now, 1 year and 2 weeks from now, you get a Saw movie. John Wick 4 was supposed to go up against The Matrix 4. And there's all these questions, which Keanu Reeves part 4 is going to move. John Wick 4 is moving along with some of the talk. And there was also that they don't have a script yet, whereas The Matrix 4 is already filming. So no real surprises there. You guys have any particular thoughts on Lionsgate moving their slate? Just more of the same.
Screw up my review schedule, Lions.
Hey, actually, on that point, I wanted to hold on this. Now that I've got you on camera, for the record, where is my Saw 4 review, Cody Leach?
It's been pushed back to 2021 with everything else.
Yeesh.
Within a month.
I would have rabbit trail on that just a little bit. So both you've been doing Saw reviews. Griffin and I were doing James Bond reviews. And so all these people have these review series leading up to movies coming out. And then with everything getting delayed and pushed back, it just totally messed up our review schedules. But we still kept people asking like, hey, man, when is your next James Bond review? Cody, where's your next Saw review? Even though everything has been pushed back unbelievably long amounts of time. Anyway, rabbit trail over. Cody, any thoughts on delays?
I don't know why they pushed Saw back a year. I thought that they had pushed it to September. If I'm remembering that right, I thought that they had pushed it to September and I mean, it seems like we'll be in theaters in September unless there's going to be a huge outbreak again. So I don't know why they decided to move it from, right there in that fall Halloween season that they're kind of king of or were king of for a while, to push it to a summer date. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. Obviously, it's frustrating because it kind of throws off plans that I've already set in motion, but I don't get the choice. But
I think when it comes to the decision to move it, I guess they're banking off the fact that they're going to make like they're going to make summer blockbuster money off of it. That would be my only guess, because now the fall season is like super crowded. I'm only assuming more movies are going to move into like fall slots and whatnot. And so they probably wanted like a wide open window, but I agree. I think they could have competed in October or September, especially because it's a horror film. It's got Chris Rock. Like that's a movie that should stay. And then other movies should be moving away from it. Like it doesn't really make sense to me. I thought for a second they might drop that on VOD, but there's too much money. There's too much money involved, and like the potential to make more money, I guess it would lead me to believe that was never an option. You know,
I think the problem with October, Halloween Kills.
Yeah.
And I think if you're Saw, you just don't want to compete against that.
Depends on how many weeks ahead of Halloween they get. True. I don't remember where in September. Right. If they got a month lead, I think they'd be fine. But I hear you.
And I think the other side of that, also speaking of September, the two It movies released 1 week into September, and they're the top two horror movies of all time, box office wise. There's a side to it where you go, what? It's kind of weird. But then again, the thing I've said every week on here is that this is just this big, gigantic shuffle of everything. If they're just taking everything that they have and having to rework everything based off everyone else reworking everything, and everyone's just trying to grab a date that they think they can lock in and not have to shuffle it again. And it's that big, gigantic mess, I think, is kind of what's going on here.
Yeah, I think another thing that probably impacted the decision was like, so A Quiet Place 2 is opening up in September. That's going to be a major.
That's probably it. It's that 1-2 punch.
So it's like, if you Spiral doesn't want to be sandwiched between A Quiet Place 2 and Halloween Kills, because then it's just not going to make as much money. So,
So with that said, that'll lead us to our final discussion of the day, which is the Uncharted games. So people ask me all the time to talk about video games, and I've got kids, and I'm doing this movie channel, so I don't have as much time to play video games. And, you know, a video game, they're not 2 hours. They're like 15, 20, 30 hours. They're very long. And so that's really the reason that I don't do more game stuff. I just don't have enough time to play them. And then when I do play them, I want to play with my son a lot of the time. And so then he's playing, you know, Lego Star Wars and Battlefront, and he's playing the same stuff over and over again. Mm-hmm. And then we were in quarantine, and Sony decided over the last year to give away the Uncharted games. So I've had them for a long time. And then I guess they made them free to everyone else last month as well. But so I had them sitting there, and then I was locked at home, and I was like, this is the time right now to finally make this happen. In the comments, people have been telling me, Sean, I'm pretty sure you would love the Uncharted games. This seems like it would be right up your alley, the type of story, the type of character, the movies you like. I mean, it's all that stuff. I just didn't have time. It's never happened. There's no reason. It's not like I dabbled, put my toe in the water of Uncharted, was like, I don't like this. It was literally, I'd never played 1 second of Uncharted prior to being locked in my house, even though I owned all the games. And so then got locked down, and I just started the full binge through. Just like, let's make my way through these games. And that's kind of my experience with them. And as everybody said, like, it was right up my alley. It's the story, the gameplay, everything. Totally dug it right out of the gate. And so, I mean, I literally just kind of binged straight through 4 games, 60 hours of gameplay or something like that over the course of a month, which is something I just don't ever do things like that. But since I couldn't go anywhere, I guess it was okay to be able to do that. But anyway, with that said, I'm planning on doing my first ever video game ranking in the very near future. But to do that, I wanted to process it a little bit more with some people that have a more slow cook played through the games over their release and everything. And a part of that was Cody saying that he wanted to talk Uncharted with me. Actually, I misinterpreted what he said when he first said it. So that's actually what led to this. I thought he was inviting himself onto my podcast. That's not what he was like. No, I was going to make a video on my channel. I was like, oh, well, I was fine with you coming on, so let's do it. And so, Cody, why don't you tell us your story with Uncharted real quick, your history with it. And then likewise, once he's done, Griffin, you can tell us your history with it. And let's start debating these ones. You guys can help me understand which one is the best, the worst, all that fun stuff. Cody, go.
Well, there's no such thing as a worst Uncharted game. It's just the least awesome. But yeah, you have a PS3 whenever it came out. I got one the summer that I graduated from high school. And somewhere in that summer, I think I had like there was a demo or something of Uncharted Drake's Fortune. And I was like, what is this? I'll check it out. And it was cool enough to where I went and bought the game. Instant fanatic. I mean, it was just Naughty Dog's a really cool, interesting studio from where they've come from with like Crash Bandicoot, things like that. And now you're getting things like The Last of Us, which is like some of the most emotionally gripping stuff you're going to play. And then Uncharted sandwich somewhere in the middle where it's just like this perfect summer blockbuster Indiana Jones, Tomb Raider type deal, but done a lot better, in my opinion. Uncharted kind of in a way was inspired by Tomb Raider, and then Tomb Raider reinvented itself because of Uncharted. But I love the first game. Instantly you just fall in love with the characters. That's the biggest thing I think Uncharted has. I mean, it has great action, it has fun gameplay, it has some really huge set pieces, but it's the characters that draw you in. It's Nathan Drake, it's Sully, it's the interaction between them, it's the writing, the voices, like Nolan North does the voice for Drake, and he kind of became the biggest video game voice actor for a long time because of the Uncharted series. It might still be, but it's just, it's a game series that if you like the type of genres that we do with like these old school action films and adventure films and Indiana Jones, stuff like that, it's just handed to you on a platter. The games do nothing but get better for them, you know, for the most part, all the way up to 4, where they get bigger in scale. They never really lose track of the heart of the games, which is the characters and the relationships between them. You kind of see relationships budding in certain games, and then you play the next game and you're kind of in the aftermath of where relationships have fallen through. And it's one of at least top 3, like my favorite video game series of all time.
Griffin, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, similar to Cody, I started the Uncharted series in high school, but I actually started with Uncharted 2. I think a lot of people kind of missed on the first one and started with 2 and then went back and played the first one. But first of all, I was just like immediately floored by how cinematic it was, just as a game. And you're right, like you do instantly fall in love with these characters. It's fun, it's swashbuckling, it's Indiana Jones, you go to like amazing locations, it's rooted in like real world mythology and whatnot. And I just remember the train sequence in Uncharted 2. It's just like it's some of the most memorable video game set pieces like you'll ever play through. And they're all done to perfection. Like each of the games has that one like set piece. Like 3 has the plane one, 2 has the train one, and then like 4, I mean, 4 has an incredible like, it's like 3 stages. It's like this bell tower that goes into like a Jeep chase that goes into, it's like, it's unbelievable. And so, yeah. And the voice acting, of course, is incredible. Nolan North is amazing. And I like that he got to work with Troy Baker, I believe, in the 4th one, because Troy Baker
might as well be the second, or if not the biggest now, too, because the last one was.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like super exciting that those 2 guys got to work together in a game. But yeah, I mean, like this, we have not gotten an Indiana Jones film since Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and this really fills that void while being different and its own thing. Like it's inspired by Indiana Jones, like a lot of adventure material, but it's like unabashedly its own. It's got an edge to it. The character is not as morally straight as Indiana Jones, and so that's always fun. And you're right, like, it was so good and so explosive right out the gate that Tomb Raider had to take a step back and be like, oh shit, how do we rework what we
how do we do
doing?
That
yeah, it's like, how do we make Lara Croft a real person and not this just like caricature of a, you know, whatever that goes through like dungeons and mazes and whatnot. But you know, no slight against those early Tomb Raider games, they're fun in their own right, but this is just another level. So yeah, no, I'm massive Uncharted fan, probably my second or third favorite video game franchise out there, but behind like Assassin's Creed and Mass Effect.
So as I'm trying to decide my ranking on this, how am I supposed to do this? As the guys that have had time to think about this, how do I decide?
Like I was telling you when we were chatting last week, these games are all so great and they're all so beloved that I really don't think there's any version of a ranking that's going to get controversial. Like everybody, it's razor thin difference between most of them. I could see why playing them for the first time, the gameplay certainly advances to where maybe playing the first one might be a little bit awkward. And then all of a sudden they've streamlined it by the second or third one. It's very difficult. Like even when I think about it now, when I think about which one is the best, and I have an idea of which one is the best because that's the one that I had the most fun playing, the one that I was addicted to, the one that just blew the doors open for me. But then I have the one that's right next to it where I'm like, oh man, but that one, you know what I mean? So it's I don't know. I'm very curious. Did you ever, I know you had a little bit of a hiccup with two, where it deleted your save file or whatever. Yeah. Did you ever go back and actually finish it? Or did you just watch the cutscenes on YouTube or something? Or
I haven't been able to fix the problem yet. And I haven't gone back yet and played back through it. So depending on what the release date was for that ranking,
it scares me so much.
I don't think I'll be able to play back through it in time. It's possible though.
Where did it cut off though?
80%.
But what place in the story?
Were you in
shootout?
Were you in Tibet yet?
Yeah, I think so.
I would at least recommend trying. I know they do like.
So I made it through the train sequence. Next big, it felt like we were ramping up. He had been betrayed by the girl. My daughter betrayed us, and that had happened. And so that was kind of the plot point, the last big plot point. But I was like in the middle of a shootout after that, and then
I remember that. Yeah.
Just went toast. Yeah.
I would at least try to find if you're not going to be able to play through it. Yeah, the cutscenes maybe watch a playthrough of it and kind of skip through some of the longer action sequences where you're just watching the guy play. Like, do something to at least finish the story. Yes.
I played. Yeah.
That really blows.
It does because the climax to two is like, it's wild, man. Yeah. It's like, I would hate to like have that spoiled, and I would hate to like not. Like have experienced that, you know. So,
exactly. How frustrating it was! Like, okay, I just invested 15 hours into this, or whatever. How much?
We've all been there at least once. I still have scars from playing Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, which felt like the longest game on earth at the time. And my little brother came in and started the game and saved over where I was like 3/4 of the way through it, beat one mission, and then stopped playing it. Yeah. And I went to go play it, and I was like, why am I at the beginning again? And I was like, do it!
Yeah.
And that's how I went from 4 siblings down to 3.
Hey, understandable. Understandable.
So as long as we're talking about Uncharted, now I can join in on the discussion about the casting that we currently have for the movie. Casting we currently have Tom Holland as Nathan Drake and Mark Wahlberg as our mentor, Phil. Have they cast the ladies? Who's the current director on this one?
Ruben Fleischer.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. So when I heard all this, it seemed weird because I'd only seen the box art. And I was like, that seems odd. And then you play the game and you immediately go, this is bizarre. Like, this just feels like studio exec person being like, all right, he's got Spider-Man, but we want a second franchise for him. So combined big up and comer with this franchise. Like, he's real active. Like, we can see, like, he's very a physical guy that can do flips and stuff. This seems perfect. What? But this doesn't match where the character starts at the beginning of the game. This doesn't make any sense in light of the actual character and who he is. Why would you? And it's not anti-Tom Holland at all. It's also, I mean, like, hey, if we're doing this movie 15 years from now, maybe Tom Holland's a really good pick for it. But like he's like 25, 26, but he has a high schooler vibe to him still.
Yeah.
Largely because he plays Peter Parker, but he's baby faced and youthful by nature. And that's, it's just not a good fit at all. And there's even that side too, you go, and Mark Wahlberg doesn't seem like the worst pick besides his accent.
At one point, he was supposed to play it. At one point, he was supposed to play Nathan Drake, and the director of Silver Linings Playbook was going to be the director of the movie. And then it went from there. And this was right around the time that Limitless came out with Bradley Cooper. That director was kind of being plugged for it. And then I loved Limitless, and I saw that he was going to get tagged for it. I was like, ooh, Bradley Cooper, if he pulled in, that would actually really work.
Yeah,
I did a rant video on this whole thing like 2 years ago when they first announced it, and my thoughts have not changed on it. Like, I love Tom Holland, and I've grown more fond of him since that video. But yeah, like you said, he just doesn't fit. And they're doing the same thing that drives me nuts about these video game adaptations, because, I mean, I think we can all agree as movie fans that the vast majority of them, if not all of them, fail, and they keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. They're not respecting the games. Like, they keep trying to do something different. We're going to tell a prequel story, or you get Resident Evil, and it's like, well, we're going to have pieces of it in there, but we're going to just do our own thing. And that just doesn't, I understand the idea of, I don't want to directly copy the story note for note, because all the video game fans, which are a lot of us, are going to know everything that happens. You can tweak it here and there, but if it's not Uncharted, you're losing your core audience. And I don't understand. It's just like with that Die Hard prequel that they were talking about. You can't have big, huge adventures that take away from how big his first adventure was in Drake's Fortune. There's a reason why that was his first big adventure. If he's done all these wild ass adventures before this, then it just waters down the Nakatomi Tower. You know what I mean? So it's no. I'm still not on board for it.
Griffin, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, like, I've kind of been in the same boat as Cody ever since they announced it. I don't understand where the casting of Tom Holland came from, but then you look and you see, oh, it's Sony. And unfortunately, no other studio can make this movie because Sony owns Uncharted, which is just really depressing, because this should be the next Indiana Jones. It like should be the next generation's great adventure franchise. Listen, it could very well be that it's just all the stars aren't aligning for that to be the case. And it's like, you get someone like Tom Holland as Nathan Drake, even after playing Uncharted 4 and understanding that he had some adventures as a kid, it still doesn't really work for me. Mark Wahlberg as Sully is bizarre casting. It's like, are we sure that we weren't casting Mark Wahlberg as Nathan Drake? Like you guys have said, it's just totally weird. Ruben Fleischer is basically Sony's Ron Howard, and even that is an insult to Ron Howard. So what are we doing here? It feels like this is, they're going to have to make this movie, make a big mistake in order to start over again and give us the Uncharted film that we want, which is just really upsetting, because it should never get to that point to begin with.
If any game franchise should be taken seriously and get the TLC it deserves, it's this one. So it's depressing to hear all these like typical studio mistakes. Like, I think even before the COVID-19 thing, they were going to start shooting without a finished script.
Yeah.
They were going to be doing that. They were just going to film action scenes and figure out the story as we went along. Like, that's red flag number one. It frustrates the living hell out of me. I know that Sony at one point was trying to make their own like video game studio that would make video game adaptations, because they had The Last of Us as well. That's gonna luckily got pushed to a limited series, I think, on HBO or something like that. So that's what that type of game needs. Uncharted needs to be on the big screen. I just don't get it. It's a no-brainer at this point. They even had a fan film that came out with Nathan Fillion, and that was a big
Stephen Lang. I mean, they got,
it was amazing.
You just look at it and you go,
perfect. Here you go.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Like, from the camera angles, like whenever they do the thing where it's a cinematic and then all of a sudden like the bars go away and it opens up to gameplay and he starts moving, like it's right out of the game, and you're like, some dude made this. Come on.
Yeah. It's baffling. It just shows that like studio, like they just don't know what they're doing. They're just looking at numbers, and they're looking at the fact that, oh, if we cast Tom Holland in the lead role, it'll get a bunch of people who wouldn't go see this movie in the theater, which is stupid. Yeah, I don't know. Again, Avi Arad is probably behind this in some capacity. My conspiracy theory for all of this. So,
Sony Pictures universe of video game characters.
Yeah, that's coming up soon. Sovokabum, whatever the hell it is. Yeah, I don't know, guys. It's just getting really frustrating. And the thing is, like, you talk to people who have been involved in video game movies, or you talk to people who are big fans of video games. They say the number one thing is that they don't get to the core of what that game is. They kind of strip it of the identity, and they either try and cram too many things into one movie, or they just completely scrap whatever the original idea was and just make something using the name as brand recognition. And they just have to scale. They have to simplify it, get to the core of what it is, and just make a good movie. That's ultimately what it comes down to. And none of this is pointing towards that. And it's just, especially with Uncharted, where it's literally gift wrapped to you. How are we here?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the one, playing through the games, where I'd been aware of kind of the development of the film, and that there are all these versions that kept falling through and cycling through directors. And then I played through the first game and I went, I mean, that feels like they got a movie right there. And then played the second game. It was like, okay, now you have two different movies you could just run, or scripts you could run with. Like, this is the equivalent of having a book to translate, because trying to translate Super Mario into a movie, Sonic the Hedgehog into a movie, that's the, you have to come up with the story there. You have to like adapt it in major ways. There's a lot of full blown creation where you take a book, you just have to translate it. With Uncharted, you're just translating, like, you have the characters, you have subplots, you have character development. It's all actually there. And for some reason, they just can't put it together. And those are the ones that's frustrating, when they can't convert the easy stuff.
This is how easy it is. You could do the lazy cop-out and just do a shot-for-shot film adaptation of the video game, and it would be a massive blockbuster. Mm-hmm. That's how gift-wrapped it is.
Yeah,
I agree. Okay, well, clicked on the wrong one.
Death Jar Jar.
Death Jar Jar. Whoa. Red Panda with a good one to close out our discussion of this one. If you don't want Tom Holland to be cast, and none of us do, that is no hate at Tom Holland. No. And I actually pretty excited to see Tom Holland do stuff outside of Peter Parker. Very excited to see that. Yeah. And just how good he can be doing stuff. So no hate to him. He's just not the right fit for this specific character at this phase in his life. Then who would you pick? I think Nathan Drake, there's a lot of people that you could be really comfortable with it. The age range, I think, is like 30 to 45. Mm-hmm. And there's any number of actors that I think fall into that we've already kind of mentioned some of them, like Bradley Cooper, Nathan Mark Fillion Walker, is a little bit on the older side to it. Mm-hmm. But you've seen him and you go, that could work right there. Some of the obvious ones that comes up for roles, so I think this Chris Pratt, Oscar Isaac, if you want to get a little bit outside the box, that like just
Oscar Isaac is my pick, man. That dude, like, just look at the images of him in The Rise of Skywalker. And
yeah, it's
like,
just right there.
You
just,
like, there he is.
The poster for the third one. I think there's a number of these guys that's also what makes it so frustrating, that it feels like there's so many obvious people that you would go, perfect. Like, multiple people that are perfect to do it. And it's not like with Indiana Jones where you're like, we're going to compare it here. No. You can just pick any one of these charismatic people that's 30 to 45 years old. There's a ton of them. A lot of them are named Chris. But instead, we go with the guy that's 25, looks 18.
Yeah.
And that's the frustrating part to it. But so it's not that I don't have any one person, but there's a bunch of those names that if they said it, I'd be totally cool with it, with it happening. All right, let's kind of close out our little video game discussion. You guys seem to know video games a little bit more than me. As I'm stuck at my home, who or what video game should I play next? Because we got a new Predator game out that has my interest a little bit, just because it's a Predator game. Last of Us ton of people tell me to play Last of Us.
Yeah,
Last
of Us. End of choices. Yes.
actually, play God of War, man. That game is amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
unbelievable. And the great thing is you don't have to have played like any of the previous iterations of God of War in order to
it's a lot harder if you do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it does hit a lot harder if you do, but like you can, the great thing about that game is it's almost like a soft reboot in a way. Yeah. Action's incredible. Voice acting is amazing. Story is really heartfelt and emotional. And, it's done like a continuous take. Like there are no cut scenes. It's just one giant sweeping, you know, camera movement or whatever.
So it's like, I literally don't know anything about it. I've just heard the name.
Yeah. So I for sure. Yeah. The Last of Us, God of War. I mean, you could dive into Assassin's Creed, man, but that's a whole like can of worms. I don't know if you want to open.
The Last of Us is possibly my favorite game of all time. It's definitely number two if it's not. It's the same people that made Uncharted. It has the same cinematic quality to it, but it's a horror game, but it's story-wise and character-wise, that game will gut you. It hits levels of emotion that video games have never hit before that game came out. It's got a remastered version for PS4 that looks incredible. So it's not going to be like you're going to have to travel back in time to suffer through this older game. I would be curious to see you play one of the Resident Evil remakes that just came out, Resident Evil 2 or Resident Evil 3. Obviously, you can't have the kids around for it because it's pretty gory.
Or wife.
Yeah. But I've had a blast playing those, and they're relatively short. Even on your first playthrough, you can get through them in like, you know, 7-8 hours. So I know that's a little bit more Sean friendly versus giving you something that's going to take 50 hours to get halfway through it. God of War, like you said, is awesome. That's kind of like a trying to think what to compare it to. Like we were talking about Hercules earlier. It's kind of like that. It's like the evil Hercules in a way, you know, he's the newest one is more Norse mythology, but the first trilogy of games was he's basically trying to kill all the gods of Greek mythology.
Yeah.
So it's just an action game. But the new one is on a whole other level. That one's awesome. I'm trying to think of something else recent.
I mean, Mass Effect is good. They're just like really long games. It's all like
very disappointing ending, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I definitely don't really care for the ending too much. And in order to get like the best of the worst endings, you have to do so much. So it's like really frustrating. But but Mass Effect 2 is one of my favorite games of all time.
Absolutely.
So. Yeah, absolutely. But
somebody called out Batman Arkham. I know you've already dipped your toes in that. That's an obvious one.
All right. Sounds like Last of Us is the one that seems like the most, especially with the new game coming out, all the content
and the movie series.
It seems like that one lines up with most things. We're going to close out in just a couple minutes on the audio version of this. We'll keep going. Take your questions down below in the comment section. So if you want to start asking questions, putting in super chats, we'll address those. Or if you listen to the audio version, we are now recording these live to YouTube normally on Wednesdays. Today is a Tuesday night as we're recording this. But if you want to be a part of that, join us on the YouTube channel and you'll kind of find out those. They're scheduled in advance so you can join in on those. But before we close this out, a couple of comments. C3C Films joined in. Hey, Chris, glad you joined. He said, I heard my name. What's up? Yes, people have been mentioning your name in the chat, asking when you'll return. You can return whenever you would like. I'd love to talk movies with you. And now we're going live, so we don't have all the production stuff that we had before. Had a super chat come in from Eric Thorpe on Uncharted. He said, if they made a movie older, Nathan Drake, post Uncharted 4, Justin Theroux as Drake and J.K. Simmons as Sully.
Perfect casting as Sully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he really is.
He's pretty great at pretty much any older mentor type character, whether they're friendly or awful, charming, unlikable.
Just take that James Jonah Jameson sarcasm and dial it down to about 8 or 7, and that's Sully.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much anytime he shows up and stuff, even when it's not great movies, he's one of the standouts, like Terminator Genesis. Mm-hmm. I'm not a hater of that movie, though. I certainly totally understand why many people do hate it. But every time he's on screen, you're like, why isn't he in more of this movie? Like, why did you not use this guy so much more for this one? What do you guys think about Justin as Drake? I don't even know what he looks like these days. Like, I mean, I don't know if I've seen him act in anything in a while.
Yeah, me neither. I Google just to remember who this dude is.
Yeah, so
he's the writer of Iron Man 2.
I think he's the lead in the Leftovers, I believe. I'm not too crazy. I mean, he's great in The Leftovers, but in everything else I've kind of seen him in, nothing has made me go, oh yeah, that's a great choice for Nathan Drake. Again, I mean, you know, maybe he could kill it. We've seen it done before, but he's not my choice.
More importantly, he is in Charlie's Angels.
That's right.
A movie that Griffin gave to me. And so if you want to see what
potentially, I've never seen it.
What? You are seriously missing out. If you guys are on the live version right now, we're not going to stop, but the audio version is about to end. So Cody, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me at YouTube at youtube.com/Cody Leach channel, or you can just type Cody Leach in the search bar and I will be the first person that you see on there. And on Facebook and Twitter, you can just you can search my name and I should be the first ones to pop up on there as well.
Griffin, where can we find you?
Yeah, you can either head on over to the Film Speak channel and see what I have going on over there, or you can give me a follow on Twitter at Griff Schiller.
And if you're on the audio version, be sure to leave a review and a rating on wherever you listen to your podcasts. It helps us out in these first few months as we're launching things. But now we're kind of moving past that phase where I can say where we're launching things, because we're now 13 episodes into this deal. But it is greatly appreciated to help us rank better and get some traction. And as always, keep talking movies too much.